With this first Sunday in Advent, we make a shift in which gospel text we're going to be focusing on. 2020 was the year of Matthew. Now, beginning a new year, we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark. And today's reading comes from the 13th chapter of Mark. And it's right toward the end of the gospel there. And there's a whole chapter where Jesus is responding to a question that the disciples asked as they were walking around in Jerusalem and looking at the huge rocks used to build a temple. They said, "Wow, look how marvelous this is." And Jesus begins to tell them that some really hard things are about to happen, talking about the destruction of the temple and the desolating sacrilege and how there will be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes. And so there's a lot of rather grim news about what's happening. And so our text today picks up with verse 24. "Glory to you, O Lord." "But in those days," Jesus said, "after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not reflect its light. And the stars will start falling from heaven. And the powers in heaven will be shaken. Then people will look up and see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power. And then they will see, then he will send out his angels and gather the elect, gather the faithful from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." Jesus continues, "From the fig tree, learn its lesson. When its branch becomes tender and leaves bud forth, you know that summer is coming very soon. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the Son of Man is near, very near, at the very gate. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But as to that day or hour, no one knows. The angels in heaven don't know, neither does the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when this will happen. It's like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home, he puts his servants in charge, each with work. And he commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master will come. In the evening, midnight, cockcrow, and the dawn. You be awake when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Watch. Wait, work. As I was rereading this text in preparation for today's sermon, I was taken back to grade 4 in Ms. Marr's classroom. There was one day, I remember, where, as sometimes happens, a teacher has to step out for a while. And of course, Ms. Marr said, "Okay, stay in your seats, be quiet, and keep on working on the assignments." Well, on this day, when she left, someone pulled out a rather large super ball. One of those balls that when you toss it, it seems to gain energy as it bounces. And that ball started going all around the room. And just to be clear, I stayed in my seat and I didn't touch the ball. I was a good boy. "Oh, Catherine, how dare you question me?" But, and actually it ended kind of tragedy. One of my friends picked it up and for some reason threw it across the room and smacked a girl right in the forehead in this nice big round spot. Anyway, the teacher got back and boy, the whole class got in trouble. So in terms of watching and waiting and working, I think there was watching going on because somebody was at the door kind of trying to see when Ms. Mars, our teacher, might be coming back. Wasn't much waiting because the time had come to have some fun and there was absolutely no work that got done. That's a stark contrast to the parable that we find today. A parable that Jesus is speaking to his disciples, to those early people of the church, his early followers, as far as what they can expect and what to do as they wait for the kingdom to arrive and to come into its fullness with Jesus coming again. In the parable, Jesus, he likens it to a man who goes on a journey and sets the slaves or his servants in charge of the household. He says each have their work, but he especially says to the doorkeeper, be on the watch. In those days, there were reasons to be on the watch, especially at night. Because in the night, that there really wasn't much light around. And that's when those who had nefarious intents, who wanted to do some harm, who wanted to break in and steal, or if it was a city, it was a great time to attack when the defenses were down. And so those that are on the watch are to watch out for those things that might be trouble, those things that might be dangerous. And I guess that's kind of the watching we were doing in that grade 4 classroom. But there's also another kind of watching. A watching that trusts that God, even though Jesus is not physically here like he was 2,000 years ago, that God is still present and God is at work. While we are waiting for the kingdom, for the realm of God to come in its fullness, we're to be watching. Yes, alert for things that aren't right, but also watching for the ways that God is at work. The ways that love does emerge out of fear. The ways that people do cooperate, where true community blossoms, where there is service, where there is forgiveness. We are to spot, be on the lookout, watch for those. So that we not only are not surprised when Jesus comes again, but we're able to claim and be reinforced in that trust. And also look for ways that we can be part of what God is doing. We're called to watch. We're also called to wait. I've never thought about waiting much. But waiting is kind of one of those in-between times. When you're waiting for something, it means in the present moment, things aren't what you expect them to be in the future. We're celebrating because Matthew was finally able to come join us as extended family. We have been waiting and waiting and waiting since mid-August, waiting for the opportunity when we could all be together as a family. In that moment of waiting, we were in touch with things that weren't quite right, things that we wished were better. In our case, waiting for the absence of our son to be gone and for him to be with us. That's what waiting is like, to be in touch with the present and how there is a future we are hoping for. Certainly in this time of the pandemic, we cannot wait for the vaccines to be disseminated, for the virus to be vanquished or so decimated so that we can get on with our lives, at least in some form or fashion, the way we used to. The pandemic has made that very, very real for us because we're doing a lot of waiting, very much in touch with how this is not how we would like life to be right now. There have been people waiting for a long, long time, waiting for racism to not have its day, waiting for the opportunity for all to be fed and cared for. Waiting for issues of justice where things have been unfair and unright. Waiting for times of reconciliation where the oppressed are allowed to be free and restored. Waiting is a time to be very clear about what the present is. The now, you might say, but also to never lose sight of what can be, the not yet. Waiting is a time of now and not yet. To name, to recognize, to inquire, to figure out what work needs to be done. We're called to watch and to wait. And the last one is work. In the parable, it says the slaves were left in charge of the house, each with their work. In the reading that Betty Jane had for us, it talked about how God's gifts are right in front of you as you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene in the finale. That's a wonderful wording, waiting for the finale. But God has given us each gifts. God has each given us our work. And we don't all have the same work. Just like during the pandemic, we are not all in the hospitals. We're not all in the grocery stores. We're not all in assembly lines. We're not all driving cars to deliver food. There is work for each of us to do. And this time our work is to wear a mask and to respect social distancing, to work together. But in terms of the kingdom, there's so many ways that we have been gifted. Some people's work is to be out there serving. Some people's work is to be preaching. Other people's work is to be listening, to be caring. Others building, encouraging, inviting, studying, giving, forgiving. The work of the Christian is never done. And we each have our work. During this time, at all times, we are called to pray and open ourselves up to how and what God is calling us to do with our gifts in this time. And in times like this, where we are in touch with, certainly there are wonderful things about our world, but there's also things that could be that aren't yet. The work of the people of God is to figure out their role in moving things forward. We can all do things individually. We can also do things communally, gather together to make a difference both here in Calgary, Alberta, and then in Canada and across the world. The work of the Christian is to watch, to wait, and to work. During this Advent time, let those be our words to live by, to watch, to wait, and to work. Because we trust that God is up to something. God is up to the salvation of the whole world. That the trajectory of history is toward a place where peace is the order of the land. Where there is enough for all. Where justice and mercy reign. Where there are no more hungry. Where there are no more thirsty. Where there is no more racism or prejudice. The wars have stopped. That all live peacefully in that wonderful Hebrew word, shalom, and the shalom of God, and the peace of God, and the truest community. The word we call for this is the reign of God, or the realm of God. We work, we watch, wait, and work toward that day when all that will come to fruition. This is Advent, a time of waiting, of watching and working. Join us on the journey. Amen.